You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, we can't even do enough promos to let you know what's coming every day here on The Maggie Dawn Show. And today is no exception, an absolutely jam-packed show. I have a very special guest and friend to kick the show off. But let me tell you what else we got coming up at 2:30, we've got Christina Reynolds, Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. She's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about all the nutso things that are being said about women's reproductive freedom. At 3 p.m., we've got Bob Lord, the Senior Vice President for Tax Policy at Patriotic Millionaires, for today's installment of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Folks, you knew I would get there eventually. We're going to talk about this corruption in the Supreme Court and how the decisions over the last term may shape your family's economic wellness and financial health. And at 3:30, I've got the White House Deputy Director of the Office of Violence Prevention, Greg Jackson. And somewhere in the middle of this, I'm also going to break some news. One of the most groundbreaking pieces of legislation to ever be introduced on the House floor was introduced by Representative Summer Lee of the 12th District of Pennsylvania. It is called the American Stability Act. If adopted, it would fundamentally raise up the middle class, ensure living wages for all. It is a true game changer, and so is Representative Lee. She is the first Black woman ever to be elected to Congress out of Western Pennsylvania. I'm going to try to fit that in today. And if we have time, I will break some news. The vice president is going to be giving remarks in Pennsylvania. She's going to be doing that live while I am on the air. We're not going to take the speech live, but I've got some of her key remarks. I was lucky enough to get those. And again, if I can get there today, folks, I'm going to share all of that with you again. Whew! Almost no time to breathe. You never want to miss an episode of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But listen, there is nobody else that I would rather kick off a show with than former Illinois Congressperson Joe Walsh, my friend. Hey, welcome back to the show, Joe. Last time I saw you, we were at the DNC having some good times.
Hey, by the way, Maggie, it's great to be with you. You and I have a pledge after this election, after she wins, yes, you and I are going to have a regular segment where we have a good, respectful conversation / debate about economic issues. I can't wait.
Joe, there. Self about these sorts of issues, about economic issues, about tax policy. Because I think really of all of the different policy decisions that impact our lives, folks don't realize how much those decisions impact their lives. It's so very important. I often say, you want to talk about childcare policy? That's tax policy. You want to talk about building a border wall or investing more to help reform our immigration system? You're probably talking about tax policy too. Can't wait to do that, Joe.
But job one, Maggie, is to come together. We've got 41 days now, and we just have to do all we can to make sure she wins. And that's got to be our focus. And that's what I'm doing as part of Republicans for Harris, going into every battleground state and trying to rally Republicans to her corner.
Yeah, if folks don't know Joe, he was a Tea Party Republican. You've said lots of controversial things, but you've always, I think, been a truth teller, best as you know it, Joe. I have a lot of respect for you because your viewpoint has evolved. You've allowed new information to sink in, and you've been making some different decisions. And certainly being a Republican for Harris might surprise some of the folks that used to vote for you way back in the day. Why have you come to this point? What do you say to the conservatives out there in the state of Wisconsin that are listening now?
Well, I'm here because I truly believe in my bones that that guy, Donald Trump, is a threat to our democracy. I've got kids and grandkids now. I don't believe this democracy will stay, will be if he's back in the White House. I mean, I it's that important to me. I'm that afraid of that unfit traitor back in the White House. And so as I talk to Republicans, I say, look, me and Kamala Harris disagree on plenty of policy. This is one of those rare American elections where policy doesn't matter, because policy doesn't matter. You and I could fight about taxes and regulations right till the cows come home. But if the democratic process is gone, then we're done.
Yeah, that is it in a nutshell. I love the way the vice president has expressed this. She did so on the debate stage. She called Donald Trump an unserious man for the most serious job on the planet. That's what we've got here. And listen, we make light, and certainly there is lots of buffoonery, but this choice is very serious. And you and I have joked, I think I even said this when you were on with me during the DNC, Joe and I will go back to arguing about tax policy after every single American voter saves our democracy so that we can have actual policy arguments and we don't turn the reins of power over basically to an oligarchy run by a dictator, right? Like, that is not good for the middle class or really any American in the end analysis. Joe, wanted to get you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's the only president in our history who lost an election and refused to accept the result and refused to concede. This thing called the peaceful transfer of power, it's a beautiful, uniquely American thing that's held for 248 years until him. And he's promised that no matter what happens in 4 weeks, he again will not accept the result. That alone means he doesn't deserve your vote.
Yeah, again, complete agreement. The thing that shocks me the most, Joe, is what I'm going to call the devolution or the regression of the Republican Party. It simply isn't the Republican Party anymore. If folks listening, if you out there, if you consider yourself a Reagan conservative, a Republican, that means you stand for our democratic republic, right? And that you believe in democracy. Again, we're going to disagree about tax, maybe about foreign policy, about this piece, or how to make educational outcomes better, all that jazz. But fundamentally, to Republican elected leadership, I continue to scratch my head and say, are you literally willing to sacrifice every one of the reasons that I assume you got into politics for the first place to simply acquire more, I don't know, money, power, attention? Like, will your ego allow you to literally trade democracy away for some short-term patting on the back and again, self-enrichment? Is it that basic? Is it just self-interest, greed, and ego that's driving these Republican elected officials?
Maggie, it's all of that plus fear. Look, if you are a Republican and you did what I did or my friend Adam Kinzinger did, if you do that, then you won't get reelected as a Republican. They want to keep their gigs. If you're a right-wing talk radio guy like I was, and you publicly oppose Trump, you lose that lucrative right-wing talk radio show. They don't want to lose that. So it is that basic, and it's fear. They're not afraid of Trump. They're afraid of the Republican-based voters, because this thing is bigger than Trump. The Republican-based voters have become radicalized. But the most effective argument I ever have when I'm talking to Republicans in Wisconsin or Pennsylvania is, if you want that, and Maggie, you and I might disagree on a lot of what Reagan did, but if you want a sensible conservative party back that believes in free market and free trade and all the rest, the only way to even maybe get that back is Trump has to lose, and he's got to lose by a lot. So if you're on the fence, Republicans, and you know Trump's a bad guy, you're not, you disagree with Kamala Harris on some issues, man, if you want your party back, a party back, a sane party back, Trump's got to lose. So you got to put your country first, and he's got to lose in a landslide.
Yeah, the landslide piece of that is important. You know, again, by the way, one of the authors from the Bulwark today, Joe, actually put out an article that said, this isn't very much to this point that we're talking about. This isn't about Republican elected officials. This is about the Republican base. That's who the elected officials are triangulating around. And so trying to figure out how to peel off, how to appeal to people's, what I think is a common sense of patriotism. You know, when I talk to conservatives, much like you, Joe, or when I talk to Republicans, as well as my most progressive and left friends, and I consider myself more of a pragmatic centrist that's socially liberal, I hear from them, I'm voting because I believe in this country. Both of those things can't be true here, right?
Right. Well, completely. And again, reminder, and you said this at the top, I'm a reformed MAGA gangbanger. I voted for Trump in 16. I got out of the cult. So I still deal with the MAGA base every day, and I can move some of them, but only a few at a time. What we're going after in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and the other states with Republicans for Harris are those Nikki Haley Republicans, those Republicans who are moderate to conservative. They're not part of his do-or-die base. And these are folks who want a sane party back. And I will say this, Maggie, we talk a lot about how Trump's a threat to democracy and all that, and I believe all that. But doggone it, Kamala Harris has run a wonderful campaign. Mm-hmm. She's doing and saying everything right. I was at that convention with you. Dare I say, her convention speech had a little bit of Reagan in it. Only in this regard, Mag, she loves America. She believes in America. She believes, like Reagan did, that America should be that shining city on a hill. Compare that with Trump, who does nothing every day but badmouth this country and blame this country. And you just take one issue. If Kamala Harris becomes president, America will continue to support Ukraine. If Donald Trump becomes president, America will not support Ukraine. Trump will support Putin. It's that clear.
Yeah, unless you want to kiss westernized democracy goodbye, there is only one choice this November. Joe, can you stick around or do you have to go? We might have Joe back after these brief messages. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More to come. It's a blizz of a show this afternoon. Oh, we're lighting it on fire here today on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to get your 2 cents in? I'll try to take your calls. I'll try to read your texts. Certainly with this next guest, who is one of the most scintillating conversationalists, my very special guest, Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, former Tea Party guy, joining me for this first couple of segments on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Again, we got a packed show for you. Joe, let's pick up where we left off. You're talking about the affirmative case that Kamala Harris is making to the American people. Again, I think there were elements of Reagan in her convention speech. And by that, I mean this reasonable, calm, and reliable sense of leadership. That's not just what she's saying, right, about America's place in the world, the shining beacon on a hill, that sort of thing. But certainly this sense that I am here, I am ready, I am a serious person. The alternative is not a serious person. And there are serious threats to our country. Let me just share with you, Joe, and everybody out there listening, if you're listening, these are some comments from her remarks today. She's going to be, I believe this is happening live right now in Pennsylvania. This is one of the things that she's saying this afternoon to people. As president, I'll be pragmatic. My guiding principle will be what Franklin Roosevelt called bold, persistent experimentation. I'm not bound by some ideology that would compel me to have one perspective or another. I'll seek practical solutions to the problems. Her remarks go on. She also says later in this same speech, look, I'm a capitalist. I know the power of American innovation. I want to work with entrepreneurs and business owners. I've been doing so over my whole career, and I believe in fair competition. Gee whiz, Joe, that certainly sounds eminently reasonable, doesn't it?
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And those are all words that Donald Trump is humanly incapable of uttering. I think like optimism, Kamala Harris presents a very optimistic look at us as a people and the country. And I'll never forget during her convention speech, she looked directly into the camera and she said something to the effect of, I will be president for all of you,
all of
everyone,
you.
Whether you voted for me or not. That's the opposite of what Trump said. Look, Mag, you and I have talked about it. This country is dangerously divided. And you know, people like me help to contribute to this divide. That's all Trump's got. And Trump wants to further divide us. If you want this country continue to be at each other's throats, then support him. She wants to try to bring people together, lower the temp, unite us, and as you said, try to get some practical stuff done.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, that we as Americans, the vast majority of us, that is, have so much more in common, our needs, our anxieties, and there's so very little that actually divides what a family in northern Wisconsin needs and a family here down in the city of Milwaukee or in Waukesha or in Richland Center. There is so very much more that we have in common and that we need from our leader. They far outnumber the differences. And what we do need is somebody that at least believes in the rule of law. Joe, I wanted to get your reaction because I nearly fell off my chair when Dick Cheney penned a letter that said, Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. He's the single greatest threat in modern American history. I'll be voting for Kamala Harris. What was your reaction? I mean, Democrats have joked and called Dick Cheney Darth Vader for a long time. And when Darth Vader's telling you, I'm voting for Kamala, maybe it's time other Republicans listen up.
I did fall off my chair when he said that. And look, but that tells you the uniqueness of this moment, that AOC and Dick Cheney can be on the same side, the same team here. And it's really important because for every Joe Walsh and Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney out there who say, I'm with her, it gives these local Republicans in these battleground states the encouragement to do the same. And that's super, super important because that Kamala's got a big old coalition she's got to put together to beat him. And we did it in 20 with Biden. You and I locked arms to help Biden beat Trump. The same thing's got to happen here. But Maggie, I'm optimistic because in every state I've been in, I've had so many Republicans come up to me and say privately, Joe, I'm going to vote for her. I can't say it publicly. Now, many will say it publicly, but many won't. And that's fine. I give them a big hug. You do what you have to do. Vote for her. I don't think those people are being picked up by the pollsters, so I'm hopeful.
Well, and again, and you heard this, Liz Cheney's made this comment a number of times in some of her public remarks, including at Ideas Fest here in Madison, Wisconsin, just over this past weekend. You know, people can say whatever they want around the dining room table. They can say whatever they want to pollsters. But one of the fundamental parts of our voting process is that you go into that voting booth and your vote is secret. It is private. and no one but you and whomever you may pray to, or nobody that you pray to, maybe just you, knows how you will vote. And so this,
yes.
I think it's so critical, the work that you're doing, Joe, to provide, frankly, a permission structure, as well as the encouragement to conservatives and Republicans to say, listen, this moment is bigger than any one policy. It's bigger than any particular political party.
And Maggie, you just said something really important. The vote, the vote, the vote. Every 2 years in this country, with a presidential every four, it's our day. The people have the power, the will of the people choose. And I say this as a former candidate who won and lost. Mm-hmm. It is the duty, the obligation for every candidate to accept the will of the people, to accept it and concede. Again, we've only had one person who refuses to do that. My God, that alone, I tell Republicans, should be enough for us just to band together and defeat him.
Yeah, absolutely. You got 40 of some 44 former cabinet members saying this guy isn't fit, some 700 former national security advisors. We're going to have to leave it there, Joe. Thank you so much. I'd like to have you back a couple more times before the election, and then we'll get us set up for some good policy debates after Kamala wins on November 5th. Thank you, Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressperson.
Love you, Maggie Dawn. Love you, Maggie. Love you.
Love you, Joe. We'll be back with more. We've got Christina Reynolds coming up from Emily's List.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Am I brave enough? Am I strong enough to follow the desire that burns from within?
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. We are brave enough. Here on The Maggie Dawn Show and the Civic Media Radio Network. So excited to be with you all today for what I hope is an absolutely jam-packed and fantastic show. My thanks to former Congressional Representative Joe Walsh joining me in the last segment. A couple of you had some questions. Let's get you on the air. Dick from Madison, you had a question or a comment. Go ahead.
Well, it's just that yesterday I was out in the garage and I had the TV on. I'm watching Dateline White House. And I just about flew off the handle. If I'd have had a wrench in my hand, I wouldn't have a TV. Nicole Wallace had the audacity to sit and rail on and chastise Mitt Romney for not actually coming out and endorsing her. What about her, who worked for George W. Bush? Mm. Where's he?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Yeah.
His vice president at least did it. You know, and many people said he was actually president, that Bush was just kind of there. But it just made me sick that she had, you know, I'm not a big fan of Romney's either, but maybe he still will. And maybe this will be the October surprise. I got a friend that thinks he's going to do that. I think he's a coward and he won't.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Dick. First of all, to your comment about Dick Cheney's leadership role in the White House, I am reminded, of course, of one of the best Saturday Night Live skits of all time, which basically was like GW sitting at a little kiddie desk, and then they panned out and it showed him with really big crayons and his little kiddie desk was in the corner, and then Dick was behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. But your point is well taken, Dick, that I think marquee Republicans like Mitt Romney, that there is, you know, history is being made right now. Of course, there is a tradition that you would never expect a fellow Republican, former president, to ever speak against a Republican candidate. But this is an election like former Representative Walsh said, like no other. And so I think those norms have to go out the window. I certainly would appreciate an October surprise from GW. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you say what, sir?
Yeah, I was hoping to speak to Joe and mention that I've been posting on some of the Facebook pages of Republicans. I challenge them for them to condemn the fake electors in the events of January 6th, and none of them have actually chosen to, you know, maybe they don't look at it, and maybe their staff is unwilling to put it to them to say, look at this, you know, maybe you should respond to this. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's something that is basic to democracy. Donald Trump refused to step down. He did not participate in a transition, you know, from the from his
administration to Biden's. Yep.
Administration to Biden's, and that was part of the problem. That, you know, that why it took Biden, you know, a little bit longer to get Kat caught up. And
there's so much there, Mark. Sorry, we've got again a lot to pack in this afternoon. Thank you for calling and listening. Couldn't agree with you more. This is an absolutely pivotal election. And because of that, I certainly hope it is time that it's going to sound like some change. That is what we're calling this very special segment. Going to be here every Wednesday in the 2:30 block with folks from Emily's List. And the reason that I think that it's such a great moment to be having this discussion with Emily's List, because it does sound like change. We've got the opportunity to elect a woman president, not just because she's a woman, but because she is making the affirmative case for her presidency. She has taken this case to the American people. It is all about women candidates up and down the ballot. Of course, here in Wisconsin, we've got Senator Tammy Baldwin running, Kristen Lierley in the 8th Congressional District. So it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communication and Content at Emily's List. She also served as Deputy Communications Director at Hillary for America. Welcome back, Christina. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me. We love talking about change. So
yes, and it does
sounds like change.
Sounds like change.
That's right.
It's been a wild week since we talked last, to say the very least. I want to play for you some sound and get your reactions. Aaron, if you can play that very first cut from Donald Trump, let's take a listen together.
And all they can talk about is abortion. That's all they talk about. And it really no longer pertains, because we've done something on abortion that nobody thought was possible. And I give those three brilliant, if you think about it, and it's six, but the three that we put in, but six brilliant justices of the United States Supreme Court, a tremendous hand for their intelligence, but also for their courage. It took a lot of courage to do so.
And if you can play the very next cut, this very brief one, because it got worse.
Yeah.
You will be protected, and I will be your protector. Women.
At least he knows the word women. Everybody's been talking about this because it's just so appalling. Also his posts on Truth Social. Mm-hmm. Christina, your reactions to these happenings over the last few days.
Yeah, I come from North Carolina, and we would normally say bless his heart, except that feels too benign in this circumstance. I think this shows a couple of things. First, Donald Trump does not have his finger on the pulse of what women are thinking. We have known that for a while, but he is proving it time and time again. He says repeatedly that everyone wanted overturning Roe v. Wade, that everyone wanted that. And I'm going to tell you, as an organization that does a lot of research and a lot of research into women, that is just not true. A majority of Americans, and a large majority of Americans, believed in the protection that Roe v. Wade offered. They supported it. They wanted it there. And in fact, what we found was that abortion was not as much a voting issue for the majority of Americans, because they thought Roe is there. I'm safe.
Yes.
Fine. Right? I don't have to worry about it. When I worked for Hillary Clinton, we actually asked voters, because Donald Trump said he wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade. It is one of the rare promises that he kept. That's right. And we would ask people about it. And I'd watch focus groups where people would say, well, that'd be really bad. That shouldn't happen. But also, I don't think he can do that. People didn't want it. And what we have seen, the impact, and this is why bless his heart is way too benign, the impact of that decision, literally people have died. You know, yes. I remember after Trump got elected and being told by a lot of pundits and a lot of men in the media that we were being hyperbolic when we said this will have a massive impact on women, Donald Trump's presidency. And we are seeing that every day. We are seeing more women are dying because of bans in place, because of care being lost, because people are, you know, doctors are afraid to go and practice in areas where there are bans. We are seeing that they're not able to get medication that they need. They're not able to get care that they need. And, you know, we see it all over the country. And what I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, is that if you are in a place like Wisconsin where your rights have been protected, thank you very much, Governor Evers, and the work of many people in the state, Donald Trump will sign a national abortion ban. And what that will mean is that your geography won't matter. He can overturn those protections across the country. And so we really need to focus on that. But as I mentioned, Governor Evers, and it's rare, Maggie, you heard me talk about a man here, but you know, take a look at your legislators, take a look at your House members. You mentioned Kristen Lierley, who is, by the way, an OBGYN.
Yes.
It's about time we got a pro-choice OBGYN in Congress, right? Take a look at your House members, take a look at your senators. I know Tammy Baldwin will vote against a national abortion ban. I'm not sure. I am actually fairly certain that Eric Hovde would vote for it, right? That, you know, these are the things that we need to pay attention to. But Donald, I mean, there's so much to say about that statement. I could ramble. I'll let you dive in there.
We had some statistics that came out this week, right? That maternal mortality is up 56% in the state of Texas. Following that draconian Texas abortion ban made possible because of Trump's Supreme Court stripping away rights from women, that 56% increase in maternal mortality compared to an 11% increase, which is also disgusting and unacceptable on a nationwide basis. This is killing women. We know the vice president invoked the two women in the state of Georgia who died because physicians were afraid to provide the desperately needed care that they deserved and which should be protected under EMTALA. We know of a young lady in the state of South Carolina spent 22 days in jail because she had a miscarriage. This is so, like, through the looking glass scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm struggling to figure out why is it that people like Bernie Moreno and J.D. Vance and Donald Trump talk about it, insist upon talking about this issue in what is, I think, for even conservative Republican women who may personally have a religious objection to abortion, their language is offensive. Mm-hmm. I don't get the strategy here. People care about this.
Yes, they do. I think there are a couple of things at play because we're seeing Republicans all over the map on this issue, right? In some cases, they're trying to convince people, no, don't worry about it. This, you literally heard Donald Trump say, no one will have to worry about it anymore. Thank you, sir. I'll decide what I worry about. You are, you know, you're not in the right place.
Paternalism in the extreme, right?
Correct. But even when they are talking about it, they are lying to voters. And let's be clear, the Republican agenda has not changed. What has changed is the way they talk about it. Now, they're a bit of a hot mess in the way they talk about it, right?
Indeed.
They are, you know, some days it's, no, no, don't worry. We're fine where we are. Everything's fine. Some days it's kowtowing to their right wing. You heard this in the debate when Donald Trump wouldn't even say he, you know, it's an easy lie to tell, right?
Yes.
He lies.
I made that argument the day after the debate. Just say that you would veto it.
Just say you would veto it, even though we know you wouldn't. And he wouldn't do it because he was too afraid of his base. I think that they are aiming at, I think if you put strategy on it, and I don't try and get in the brain of Republicans too much, that's their business. But if you put strategy on it, I think there's some of, they are, you know, they are running aiming at men. They are trying to work the gender gap to their advantage. The unfortunate thing for them is that more women turn out to vote than men. Right. And I also think they are just underestimating how much this issue matters and what it means. I think they think that it is a little social issue, check the box, move on. And I think if you speak to women, they will tell you, women who, by the way, are of, because I heard there were other commentary about women over 50 don't need to worry about it.
Oh, yeah, we'll take that zone.
Sure. We still care, right? We still, you know, women care about our rights, about our bodies, our decisions being our own. It's just that simple. And they don't understand that. Yeah. And so they keep talking about it in these really disturbing ways.
Very disturbing ways, inconsistent ways, incoherent ways, offensive ways to all women and men that love women. One of the things that I always find really interesting is that I think there is a block of voters, especially women voters, who aren't out there like you and I are talking about this all the time. And men seem to, again, they suck up all the oxygen in the room. It's like, why am I hearing all these men talking about this constantly, all the time? This is part of the problem with what Senate candidate Bernie Moreno in Ohio said. Why are you talking about this? If indeed this is sort of a non-starter and nobody needs to worry about this, then why are you specifically, again, taking up all the oxygen in the room? Why don't you actually ask women, right? I don't hear Republican candidates quoting their internal polling saying women don't care about this. It's because the polling doesn't exist. They're making it up. We're going to take that Bernie Moreno sound when we come back. My very special guest this half hour, Christina Reynolds, Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List, because it sounds like change. Every Wednesday in the 2:30 block here on the Maggie Dawn Show, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more after these important messages. Just like the river. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it sounds like change, folks. Every Wednesday in the 2:30 block, you're going to hear from my friends at Emily's List about why it is so important to elect pro-choice Democratic candidates to office up and down the ballots. My special guest this week is Christina Reynolds, Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. You mentioned Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's running for Congress here in the state of Wisconsin in the 8th District. Folks, she's going to be joining me tomorrow, I believe, in the 3:30 block. So we'll hear from Dr. Lierley tomorrow. I can't wait to talk to her about some of the crazy stuff that has been said over the past week. We also got a text, Christina, from Catherine in Madison. She says this: Maggie, if women have equal rights to the necessities of life, we won't need a, quote, protector. Exercising our rights will allow us to protect ourselves. Go, Catherine. And I use the word paternalism. There is this talking down to women that I hear being deployed by Donald Trump. I also yesterday called it the language of abusers. That when you're having your rights stripped away, or women that are in an actual physically abusive relationships, oftentimes it's, well, don't worry, I'm actually your protector. Oh, that was a joke, I didn't mean it. That's really not what this gaslighting that goes on, this continuing grooming to not actually believe what your gut instinct is telling you about this situation. I wanted to take the comments from Bernie Moreno because they are sort of the epitome of what we're talking about here. Aaron, if you wouldn't mind playing that sound.
You know, the left has a lot of single issue voters. Sadly, by the way, there's a lot of suburban women. A lot of suburban women that are like, listen, abortion's it. If I can't have an abortion in this country whenever I want, I will vote for anybody else. Okay, a little crazy, by the way, but especially for women that are like past 50, I'm thinking to myself, yeah. That's an issue for you. Oh, thank God I wanted to hear that one.
Listen, calling women crazy because they're concerned about their access to reproductive care and basic medical care, and then making a crack that women over 50 and why are suburban women, that is some really weird gaslighting. I mean, it is bizarre.
It also shows a fundamental lack of understanding of what this issue is about. Because this issue, and this is, by the way, this is why it matters to women who don't, who are outside of childbearing age. It's why it matters. It should matter to people who may never have to have an abortion, i.e. men, right? This is not a question about, you know, how many weeks. It's not a question of little details or when you can have an abortion. It is a question of who gets to decide about your body. Who gets to decide about your future? Whether or when you have a child is a massive, you know, Kamala Harris used to say, someone would ask her about abortion. She'd say, thank you for asking me about economic issues, right? Like,
right.
Because people try and turn abortion into a social issue, which is a tag that we put on things where people act like it's not a kitchen table issue. What is more kitchen table than growing your family or starting a family or not starting a family? What is more kitchen table than that? Than your health, than your life? And so that's something that they just don't get. And the reality is the majority of Americans do get it. They understand why this is important because they think they should get to make those decisions. That's why we see people who don't actually want to have an abortion or don't think they would want it, think that other people should get to. And that's the reality. This is a majority issue. Republicans are on the wrong side of it, but they would rather be paternalistic. They would rather go out and appeal. Either they just don't understand or they're trying to appeal to people who, you know, this gets into some of the make America great again, right? Taking us back to a time when things were very different. And I think I call back to in one of the opinions about the Dobbs decision, Justice Alito said, women are not without political power. And my take is, yep, you betcha, sir. And we are going to prove it. And so that's what I think they don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really want to go back to Susie Homemaker time. Like, that is not an appealing era in American history to me. It is not an appealing era when women's options in the professional landscape were to be a teacher or a nurse.
Are both great jobs, but you should get to decide that.
But
you
one of my
get to decide, yes. Right? If you want to be a homemaker, if you, you know, how you want to raise your children, what if we decided that?
Yes, it is the choice that matters. My mother was a nurse. I have unending respect for her. My best friends are teachers. Thank you, right? Women have always stood in those posts to help protect and nurture folks. But that is not the sum of our choices, nor should it be. And the reason that abortion is an economic issue fundamentally is that if I cannot control my healthcare and when I have a baby or whether I have one, I cannot fully participate in that political process. I cannot be fully equal in the workplace.
Right.
I had said to me when I was an associate at these big fancy law firms that I worked at, well, I can't assign this to you because you may get married and have a baby and need to take maternity leave. Folks, I can't believe we're already out of time. I cannot wait to talk with you again, Christina.
We'll be back.
She will be back because on Wednesdays, it certainly sounds like change. It is Maggie Dawn Show and Emily's List talking about the elections and how electing Democratic pro-choice women is best for everyone. Keep it locked. We're back with Maggie and the Millionaires talking money after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.